Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Who says there's nothing going on in Miami Dolphins land? Well, you might by the time this thing's over, but this is Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, right here in the Casabella Design Group studios. Of course, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And as always, I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business and the non-live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, are you all World Cupped out yet? Or are you still going down to the finish line on this thing?
Hell no, man. Messi, baby. Messi.
We're sitting here trying to text for the show. And then Juice is like, ah!
Okay. Now, you know what, man? I mean, honestly, I wouldn't give a damn. You know, but Messi's one of our guys, man. Inter Miami, you know, down there. Here, he's revitalized soccer in the U.S. again, you know, MLS. Even though I don't watch very many games, I did subscribe. I already had Amazon Prime when it was at the beginning. But, hey, man, I love, like, Olympic sports and things like that, mm-hmm. when countries come together. And I love what World Cup has done for, you know, the North Americans. You know, the amount of people that have shown up and, you know, been in Canada, been in the United States, been in Mexico. You know, it's been great. It really has been, man. And, you know, obviously the United States, we're not into football like everybody else is. But same time, though, man, the craze has been crazy. When, like we talked about a little bit last week, right, Mike, when IHOP and, you know, Applebee's and all that
ranch
stuff.
You wanted ranch dressing really bad, man.
You know, when I went to London, man, they had no seasoning, no nothing. It was all bland, bland, bland. So I get why they come over here and they're enjoying, you know, how we eat over here. We eat well over here. We really do compared to a lot of other countries. And some people get a taste of that, literally a taste of that, Big Seth.
I see what you did there. I see all what you did day. There. Yeah, all he's on day. It. He's on it. So, well, before we get too deep into anything, as always, we are joined by our Emmy-adjacent producer. He is the legendary Savak, getting that car fired up. It sounded really good before we started things up over here. And the lighting is perfect. The lighting is perfect, Savak. So nice work.
And man, wait a minute. Hold up, man. He's looking way too light-skinned right now, man. You know what I mean? What kind of lighting? He's got a great camera. Why does he need all that lighting, man?
Well, when he turns that light off, it's a whole different deal. So I don't think there's any windows in that room. That garage is all blacked out over there for sure. And we are thrilled to have our buddy Mike Oliva back from Dolphins Talk. So, Mike, I'm glad you're in here. Perk was supposed to be here, but he said he was meeting up with a bunch of buddies to watch the World Cup game, and he said he wasn't sure what was going to happen after that. So we'll have to figure out.
I mean, the game is only over at like 5 o'clock.
Right. You know
I mean? Like, damn, Perk.
He was just getting started.
He might have pulled something out of there, though, man. You know, depends on where you go, Big Seth. You know, you might, I mean, did you go to an English pub? Or did you go to an Irish, Argentinian bar or club, like, or something like that? I would go watch with the Argentinians because I think the selection there is probably a little better than, you know, not better. Let me
talk about advertisers.
Let me shut the hell up. What I should do, man.
I don't know where you're going.
Everybody knows what you mean, OJ.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for bailing me out.
Wink, nod, 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 Josh.
We're gonna keep it moving. And while it is July 15th, there are a few things to discuss in Dolphins Land. But before we get into any of that, Mike, I know you wanted to discuss the Dolphins Talk Military Fan of the Year contest.
Yeah, real quick, because I haven't had a show since we put this out. This is year number 6 for us. If you are serving in the military, or if you have someone in your family or a friend who has served or is serving, and if they want to go to a Miami Dolphins home game this year, drop me a quick email at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Give me your name, when and where you served, and just a quick, short few sentences on why you think you should win. Also, let me know what home game you want to go to as well. And then I think like first, second week of August, myself, Ian, Tom, and a few of us here from our website, we go through all the people and we pick a winner, which is always the hardest part because there's so many people who probably should win. We pick a winner and you can win 2 tickets to a home game, a parking pass. And we give you, and you also get $100 to spend on food. You want to get a hat, shirt, whatever. We give you $100 as well. So if you know someone or if that's you, please be sure. 6 years in a row we've done this. It's always a lot of fun to, you know, support the military and support a fan of the Miami Dolphins who served in the military. We've had people, once I've told them they won, they've cried. It's like, it's a great thing.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, so if you're into that, you know, please be sure to submit your entry here.
Hey, Mike, also, let me add this, Mike. Whoever the winner is, I'll be sure to find a way to meet and greet with those guys, and
there we go.
You know what I mean, and you know what I mean. On top of that, man, and
we'll figure it out.
Hopefully, if you know, it's tough sledding getting into the alumni suite, Big Seth. But I know a couple people, man. Maybe I can get them to come in and say hi real quick. I know we won't get them to be able to come in and stay.
Yeah, but you'll be able to come in and say what's up, man.
And you know, it'd be great.
Yeah, we'll try to figure that out. Also, real quick, with Seth, I didn't tell you this. I looked on because I know I had one, then you helped me out sort of making one too, are this day in Miami Dolphins history. And this weekend on July 18th, or maybe that's Friday, I'm not sure. July 18th, we got a big day in Miami Dolphins history.
Okay.
And it involves our friend OJ. OJ, what happened on July 18th,
1993? July 18th, that's the year I was drafted. July 18th is probably... We didn't play a preseason game. Did I take a kickoff? No, it wasn't a preseason.
That'd be too early, right?
That's too way even, too early.
Even better, you signed your first NFL contract.
Oh man, that contract.
A real Miami Dolphins fan that day.
Oh, the contract that was supposed to be $1 million, and I got the check, and it was 600-something thousand. That one?
That one. July 18th, 1993.
I'm still wondering who the hell Fike is, man. Who the hell is Fike?
Well, they have a new name these days. That's cool. Very cool.
Well, that's good stuff. Hold up, man. I got to write that one down.
I think Seth put that one on my list because I know I didn't have it because I wouldn't know it. Time, I think Seth added that
back
one.
For that like 37th podcast we were going to start.
Yeah, exactly. one of the brainstorming ideas that sounded good on paper.
Glad we're not doing that one.
Hey, Big Seth, I need a quick timeout. You guys continue on. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Gotta go to the door.
All right. Well, so here's what I wanted to get into. And I guess if you were waiting for this, you saw it as the thumbnail on YouTube. What I wanted to get into was obviously training camp's right around the corner here. Are we set where we are? Or do the Dolphins need to make one more big move before they open up camp? And we can go, we can do a round robin here. I'd love to get everybody's opinion. And there's some rumors out there. In fact, I think Savak was telling me he was reading one this morning. There was a potential rumor about signing a wideout. What was that that you were reading, Savak?
Yes, that was pertaining to wide receiver room. The Bleacher Report's Mo Moten recently suggested the Dolphins should attempt to acquire the Carolina Panthers wideout and former first rounder Xavier Leggett.
Xavier Leggett. Yeah, so, you know, outside of all the great social media stuff with his accent, his country accent and skin and squirrels and all that other stuff, you know, that's the question I want to pose to you guys. And you can comment on the Leggett situation, or if you think there's something else you need to do, or if you just want them to get to camp with the roster set the way it is. Juice, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm always about bringing in all kinds of receivers. You know, it's always about the receivers, you know, and I, you know, I like Leggett, you know, so that's not a bad idea either. You know, also looked at, you know, some people might scratch their head about guys like Stephon Diggs. You know, you want a veteran presence out there. I still like Deebo Samuels. You know, I like some guys that can do multiple things. I think the Dolphin brass is looking at guys that do multiple things, and that's one guy that can do multiple things. So I like to, you know, always want to, you know, bolster the wide receiver position, especially because we're so young there. I'd rather have a veteran guy come in that's obviously low money, low headache. Which I don't know if those two guys I suggested are low headache.
Yeah, I was like, where's the low headache? You know,
but at the same time, though, sometimes you get into a situation where, you know, I mean, you get Randy Moss and guys like that go to a New England Patriots and they become different guys than they were somewhere else. And, you know, and we, who knows how our new brass handles, you know, guys that have had a past. You know, we know Jimmy Johnson tried to resurrect a lot of guys that were pretty bad, and they were good for a little while, and then they, you know, come to South Florida, and it's a problem. South Florida might be the biggest issue of all that stuff. You can go to New England, you can go to Buffalo, you can go to Green Bay and be okay because the environment will allow you to just play ball, you know, and focus on football. That's not the case down here, Big Seth, as you know, man. There's a lot of distractions. Like we just talked about Argentina. There's 30 something. It's Baskin Robbins down here when it comes to stuff like that. You know, there's 30. Yes, exactly right. Exactly right, Mike. It's, you know, and it's open 24/7, 365. You know, and that could always be a problem for anybody coming in as a young guy or as a guy that comes in with a little money in their pocket. So it's always tough. So I don't know if we're talking about other guys. You know, there's a guy also that I thought that, you know, could be a big boost. This is about the boost because, I was grabbing my food from Uber Eats. Dude came over on a bike, by the way, man. You know, he bicycled over here.
I'm going to give him a nice tip.
And it's still, dedication. It's still warm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, he didn't pay any gas money, man. You know what I mean? He didn't, you know, that
yeah, factored in.
$4.09 what they paid for gas. He didn't have to pay that, man. I think his bike was electric too. I didn't really see it, so he really was cheating the system.
He's also not caught up in traffic, right? I mean, he can just do what
correct.
He wants.
Sidewalks and do whatever the hell he wants down here in South Florida. But you know, another guy, you know, that we're talking about. We're talking about the same thing. Well, I mean, this is what we're talking about, right? Other than, you know, just guys that we're talking about that possibly come in.
Well, correct. Right? That's what I guess. So the question is, do you think they need to do anything? Yes. Do they need to do anything? And whether you do think they do or don't, what would be one move you'd like for them to do?
That's what I thought, Big Seth. I got the outline, bro. Yeah, I pay attention.
I open my emails. And stuff, so everyone. I just was trying.
Well, you know, I was gone, man. You just fill me in, but when I get back, bro, you know, I mean, I heard you talking about Savak and what he had in mind and stuff, man. And, all right, I'm back. All right, I'm back. But a guy that I think could be very interesting, even though I have a lot of problems with his dad.
Oh boy,
is Joey Bosa.
You know what I mean?
His dad and I go back and forth, man. We do not like each other, but you know what I mean. There are a lot of guys I did not like on the football field, you know, on my team that I play with them. You know what I mean? If they can ball, that might be not a bad idea for him to come home. And honestly, you know, pick up his dad's legacy where his dad fell short. You know what I mean? That'd be interesting, a Joey Bosa pick up. So there's some guys that we should do. I like a veteran presence, though. We're so young. Find a veteran presence on, you know, in different positions, especially those that lack a veteran presence. And I think our defensive end, our edge rushers probably are still young with chopping those guys. And I know that our wide receivers are very young. So, you know, that those are the two positions that I would think about grabbing some guys that, that could help this football team out, but also bring some leadership, hopefully leadership quality to the team.
On the cheap, though, right? I mean, you don't want to.
Got to be on the cheap. Everything's on the cheap. I mean, Mike, how much money we got left? Mike,
not much. Well, that's the thing.
I think it's $100 Mike's giving to somebody when they go to the game.
Exactly. You only get $100 this year. No, just kidding. That's the thing with this. Like, sure, I would add anybody because I have a list here of a lot of names that would help this team. Because I also think in the secondary, we need a ton of help as well. So edge rusher, wide receiver, secondary would be the three spots. Like you said, Samuel, you got Marshawn Lattimore corner. You got Hassan Reddick at the edge, Joey Bosa. You want to bring back Jonnu Smith, the tight end? You could bring him back. He's still out there unsigned. You got, I mean, there's a lot of names, but I ain't signing anybody for more than a vet minimum. And on this list, it's got what these guys made last year. Marshawn Lattimore, 19.5. Samuel, 17.5. All these guys are 12, 10 million, 15 million, 17. Are any of these guys, are they going to sign a one-year deal for the vet minimum? I'd be very surprised. And I think that's where John Eric Sullivan and this new Packers way, it's about draft and develop. You bring in these guys, they might stop some of these younger players from getting more playing time. I understand. Ooh, you need veterans. I understand it. That's right.
Yeah.
And you don't want a progress stopper. But look, I think we all know what this year is. There's $180 million of dead money on the cap. Is it worth signing one of these guys or just let the young kids play? Let's see what we got. We got a lot of first and second year guys. Let's just see sink or swim. Everyone, you know, if you can't get time on the field this year, if you're a member of the Dolphins, that's a you problem because there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of positions. So I don't know if this is the year to do something like that. Now, look, if we had – Chris Greer, he probably signed five of these guys and would just go load up. But I don't think, I know Greer, it's a cheap shot, but it's July 15th. Come on, I got to get the last few in before we get to camp. We don't talk about him anymore. But the point is, I don't know if you want to sign Leonard Floyd, who got like $9 million last year. Okay, say he comes in 1 year, $4 or $5 million. Can you afford it? Yeah. Is it worth it? I don't know. I mean, I just think this year is what this year is. Let's see what the young kids got. And because there's a lot of them. And I don't know if this is the year to make that type of move. Vet minimum, sign anybody. But I don't know if these guys are signing for vet minimums. That's the problem.
Well, here's the thing too, though, Mike. And, you know, I love that. That's a great point right there. But a lot of times the guys that made the money they've made, they're trying to get one more year in, another year in. You know what I mean? They've made a lot of money. And if they're sitting at home still, they're not. They can't expect to make a lot of money if they come into a camp in July or August or early September. I mean, they really can't. But some of them, their pride gets in the way. Hell, if they would have told me to come in September and, you know, make the vet minimum, I'd come in and, hell, I'd strap it up for one play and then get hurt again. And then, you know what I mean? And then I take my money and run with it, you know? And maybe some of these guys, you know, pride is a motherfucker. Excuse my French, you guys. Yeah, there we go. That was
quick on that.
He's ready. You know, but I'm saying, like, if some of these guys want to come and be a part of something, and one other factor that a lot of teams don't have is the Miami factor, man. Who wouldn't want to come and finish up and like live in Miami for a year no matter what? We've seen a lot of guys come and play for very little money here. You know, they didn't give us much out of it, but living in Miami.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is it worth it then at that point?
Yeah, well, you know, if it's, like you said, if it's a vet minimum, I mean, it could be worth it. If they can come in. Look, we had some guys that have been here, you know, that came in here. We didn't think they would be very good. We didn't think they'd be able to work out for us. Who's our tight end last year, Big Seth?
Who's the tight end who came in? You're talking about Waller.
Yeah. Last year, Waller.
Waller.
Yeah. Sorry. You know what I mean? And we didn't think he was going to be worth anything. No, and he came in and gave us half a season of pretty good football.
He called it 8 touchdowns or something.
He gave us half a lot of games of good football. And then Mike McDaniel forgot he was on the field.
That point, that won't happen again.
Speaking of tight end, when you brought up Jonnu Smith, they traded Jonnu Smith, right? And with Ramsey, got rid of a headache.
Jonnu Smith got paid the $12 million. They did not succumb to the Drew Rosenhaus, Jonnu Smith leverage there of the $12 million bucks. Total washout. I mean, he did, you know, nowhere near the season that he had in Miami. If they end up getting him back on the cheap and they got those draft picks, is that a Chris Greer gift? You know, we're taking shots at Chris Greer. I think that was a good decision he made there.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they'll sign him. I think if they're going to spend any money on like one player, I actually don't think it would be wide receiver because they took three in the draft, which is
I think it'll be
edge rusher or someone in the secondary. It can be a safety corner because if you look at that secondary, that is rough. I mean, look, I'm hoping for the best for some of these players, but that's a rough group right now.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Mike. Yeah. Was for
it's
gotta
me got to be someone in the secondary or an edge rusher. Yeah,
those were the two position groups, and I did have receiver on the list if there was a vet. To OJ's point, where somebody was holding out for something that wasn't showing up, and they decided they would take, hey, you know what? I'll go not pay state taxes and be a part of this deal.
Samuel had his best year in the NFL with Bobby Sloak in San Francisco. I think he was like the offensive passing game coordinator there. That was his best year. He has ties to him. Now, I don't know if he's going to want to play for a vet minimum, but if he did,
probably not, Debo Samuel.
Probably not. That would be. Yeah. Like,
what if he doubled his vet minimum? Would he play for that, Mike? I mean, if you double it.
Depends who else is offering.
Yeah, $2 million, I don't know. $2.5 million. What is the vet minimum now, man?
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it was like $50 in a bag of chips when I played. So I don't know what.
A little more than that, Juice. A little more than that. I think there's a cold Gatorade.
Gatorade too. Yeah. Well, I think a year supply of Gatorade, Big Seth, at what time.
So 1.3, it looks like, is the vet minimum for anyone with more than 7 years.
That's not so bad. So, okay, so Daniel and Meehan, it's not what you guys want. Sully is good with the current roster. I agree with you, Daniel, that Sully is good with the current roster. And I'm not necessarily saying we want anything either. I'm just saying, do they need to make another move? Now, somebody, I think it was Zonka Would Run, put in here that the move is to re-sign Brooks, right? Like that's the one thing that's correct. Missing, that would be the big move. I know you feel strongly about that, Juice, when you, Mike, and I had that conversation about should they or should they wait. I mean, they've held Pat so far. We'll see what happens when camp starts. I think he'll be out there. But I could see where whether it's either signing him or, you know, somebody needs a linebacker of that caliber and is willing to give up some real draft capital, I could see that potentially when they get to camp, if they feel that these rookies are ready to play or that they're at least ready to give them that year and the year that you can – mail it in. Nobody's tanking here, but in a year where you have a little longer runway from your ownership, I could see them taking an offer. So that could be the big move, is something to do with Jordan Brooks.
Yeah.
We also drafted three linebackers.
That's that part right there. Brooks is in a tough position, man. You know, I mean, when you look at a guy that did all he did, though, man, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about where he ranks in NFL rankings, you know, a little bit in the show. I mean, this dude was that dude last year for us. Now, what do we know? And you guys can help me out because I don't get into all this. You know, I love my boy Travis, but Travis can tell us and Mike can tell us, you know, how he fits in a Halfley scheme. Whether that, you know what I mean? Because if you think about it, if you got a dog of a linebacker and Halfley's your a former defense coordinator, now head coach, if you got a guy that fits your scheme perfectly, hell, like Jimmy Johnson took care of the defensive guys first. This wasn't the case here. The case here in this team is they took care of the offensive guys first.
Yep.
So you got to wonder, you know, when it comes to a guy like Jordan Brooks, who's done everything right here. He's made plays.
I can't argue that.
Pro bowler. You know, great in the locker room, you know, team player, shows up when he's in contract talks and things like that. What the hell's going on here? That's my question when it comes to it, you know, when it comes to a guy like that. Are they asking too much or, you know, and then he feels like his value, is being underappreciated here in Miami still. So I don't even know where that even lands when it comes to a guy like Jordan Brooks. But I know that, you know, we talk about bringing in veterans in different positions where they're young. And this dude right here, who better for those young three linebackers you're talking about, Mike, than Jordan Brooks to lead him.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? So it's got to be a numbers game.
And it's always
yeah.
And that's what we said on that show, which is probably like a month old now. We said, look, I'm sure they have a number in mind. And I don't think John Eric Sullivan, again, ain't Chris Greer. And I don't think he's going to go 1 cent over that number at the end of the day. Maybe 1 cent, but he ain't going two. And if Jordan Brooks and his agent have their number in mind and they're not close, I think, you know, he won't get the – now, look, I'd be shocked if they don't get something done in the next 10 to 14 days here prior to camp when everyone has to report. I think it's –
shocked.
I'd be a little surprised if it's not – if this goes into camp, I'd actually be a little surprised. But here's the deal. If this goes into camp, he ain't going to be here long.
Right.
He'll be gone by the deadline. Right. There's no way they're going to hold on to this guy and just let him walk at the end of the year for nothing. So I think something will get done here in the next 10 to 14 days or however long until camp starts. But, you know, it's always about the money. He fits in any system, Jordan Brooks. He's
right.
In NFL and tackles. That's, he'll fit,
great point.
Especially
great point.
Right now where he's in his prime. This is his probably largest payday he'll ever get. And I don't blame him. Not hold out, but aim for as much money as you want. And I do think they will get something done here. Why this is taken, like, we were talking about this back in April at the draft when they started taking all these linebackers. Hey, they might trade Jordan Brooks on night two of the draft, night three of the draft.
Right.
It didn't happen, but it's got to be about the money, and yeah. I do think by the end of July something will get done, and if not, then all bets are off, and we'll see.
Well, you know, who's going to flinch, though, here? You know what I mean? It ain't going to be us. It's not going to be the
Sullivan.
Team. You know, it's going to have to be the other side because somebody's got to flinch here, Big Seth and Savant and Mike. You know, somebody's got to flinch, and, you know, when I was dealing with contract negotiations, my agent was always the bad guy, but I was really the bad guy. Mm. You know, it was always me that was saying, like, yo, you know, I want to be there. You know, my agent doesn't think it's right, but I'm the one who's like, you know, what deal? What'd they say? Nah, hell with that, man. We're not taking that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we'll just see who flinches in this situation, man. And, you know, hopefully they get it fixed. Hopefully we do get something, either him as a player or him, you know, with some draft, you know, some draft capital or something like that, because Jordan Brooks is that dude, man. He's a dog in this game.
Juice, I agree with Mike, by the way, on I don't think it will be Sullivan. I just think it's too early in their regime. Like, they have a strategy. Yeah. They don't have an attachment to these guys. And so he said he was one of his foundational pieces. He obviously believes in him as a player. But I think he's determined that I'm going to do it. We saw it with the whole trade when they traded back with Proctor and the whole deal. Like, he was going to get what he was going to get, and that was it. So,
well, you know, also, Big Seth, if this team was like a team that everybody is saying, you know, can go out there and win the division, win the conference,
that'd be different.
They'd be going out. Yeah, they'd go out there and make it happen. We got to have this guy. We have to. But since the bar is so low, they're like, hell,
we'll year one of a rebuild.
We'll deal with the rebuild.
That's exactly right. Now, we're talking about, you just said he's a dog, he's that dude, all those other things, that everything the right way. For the first time in his career, Jordan Brooks cracked the NFL's top 100, came in at what, at 6'7", he came in as player number 67. And so, you know, exciting for him. We know it means a lot to those guys when they make those lists. And it means a lot to the fans to know, hey, we've got a few guys on that list, and I imagine
there's 1,800 dudes in the league, right? Something close to that. I mean, if you do the math and carry the one, it's like 32 times, you know, let's go to 60, because that's, you know, it's easier for me to round up instead of round down.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's like 1,800 dudes. Be 67, that's high praise, bro.
I agree. I agree. So, no, I mean, that's a great list to be on. And it's chosen by your peers.
The players,
you know, So I think that's a big reason why they like it. We saw how excited Tyreek Hill was to be voted number one, and it was kind of, you know, everything went downhill.
That kind of is a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
That's, you know,
just to crack that quarterback. Yeah, cracking that list is a huge deal, man.
As a number one overall.
I think I was like 1,781 or something like that.
No, you know, come on, Juice. Come on, Juice.
They did it. You know, I mean, the lack of respect that they – Savant, they disrespected 8-1, man. You know what I mean? How do you lead the league in, you know, receptions and you be number 8 in Pro Bowl voting? You know what I mean? Fuck you.
All right. That's fair.
The bad, bad guy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bad, bad guy, OJ McDuffie. So, all right, well, we'll see if there is one more big move. And, you know, we said before training camp, as we all know, a lot of times those big moves come a week or so into training camp when, unfortunately, that injury bug hits and you know, that's when things start to happen. So that's the reality. The Bills have a new – oh, I was reading it. I'll go back and look at it. A new coach that could be catastrophic. The Patriots are seeing the situation as a locker room disaster, especially. I don't think it's going to matter in there. If anything, it'll bring those guys closer. This division is set up for Malik Willis. Pete is fired up. Pete thinks.
Pete, God bless you, Pete. I wish I thought like you. I wish I had your optimism.
The Dolphins were just, we talked about it last week. They were voted as the worst roster in the National Football League. Pete says they've got talent. It's in their pores. It's seeping out of their pores. There's talent everywhere. Pete, I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right too. It'll be interesting to see. 20-0. Here we come. Let's go, Jordan. I like it, for Pete's sake. So, you know, you talked about Jeff Hafley, and we're talking about Malik Willis. Jeff Hafley recently was invited to throw out the opening pitch for a Miami Marlins game. Juice, were you at the game? I know you're a big Marlins fan. You're at a lot of these games.
I was not at this game. They actually lost. They got swept by my Guardians that weekend. I was out of town. It was other than the pitch, everything else was garbage for my team that weekend.
Hot garbage, for sure. But garbage. That pitch, there was some heat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish Chad was here, because Chad threw out the first pitch, you know, courtesy of the Jason Taylor Foundation and Dex Imaging from Mike Goodfellow. And, you know, Chad threw it to Billy the Marlin, and Billy can't see anything, man. he can't see a damn thing. And Chad threw it a little high, and it flew all the way to the backstop for the most part, because Billy can't see past his bill. You know, so that was that was nice, man. You could see that he's got a little baseball in him. You know,
that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, he's got a little baseball in him. He, not only that, Big Seth, he almost went all the way to the bump. Most guys don't go all the way to the mound. They, you know, not to the pitcher's mound. They go a little bit ahead of it. They don't want to embarrass themselves.
From the women's tees, right?
yeah. He went really close to the bump, threw a nice pitch. I like his windup. You know, you can tell that he's done this before. You know, I threw out the first pitch for the Marlins one time, and I threw a fastball. It was fast. Some of these guys throw a little changeup. It looked like a little bit of a changeup, because you can see the arc. You know, Sandy, you watch Sandy Alcantara, a star pitcher?
No.
His ball doesn't do this ever. Even his changeup doesn't. It's like, you know, it's all straight movement. You know what I mean? And that's how, I went out there with a baseball background, Big Seth. I couldn't go out there and throw some garbage up there, you know, but it's so crazy we're talking about this, because just watching the All-Star game the other day, you know, yesterday, you know, when President Bush had to go out there after 9/11.
Yeah, that was a pitch.
You know, that was a hell of a pitch. And a lot of people don't know this, but he had to go out. He was warming up in the bullpen, like underneath, to throw it. But he had to throw that with a bulletproof vest on.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Wow. And so for him to throw that pitch that perfect, it looked like a perfect pitch, like half pitch was, man, that's, you know, that's a lot of pressure out there, man. And
he was challenged too by Jeter. He told him, are you going to the rubber? And he goes, I have to. He goes, good. And he went to the mound. He threw from the rubber.
Outstanding stuff, man.
That place went nuts too, because of what happened at the time. That place went absolutely crazy when he threw that strike.
Yeah, so cool. back to what you're saying, Big Seth. The fact that half, you know, threw such a perfect strike, and Malik's was
might be a bad sign.
Was far from it. Like, you know, this I mean, there's different, there's different threads on the balls, man. There really are. You gotta guess what it is.
So this is what I want. I have a couple questions based on this, and that's number one: how many head coaches in the National Football League do you think would throw a better opening pitch than their starting quarterback?
I mean, there's so many involved. I don't even know who head coaches are anymore.
Let me call up a list of.
You look at some of the guys. Who would you look at and say they have some type of baseball background? I think all these guys. See, especially if they played ball. If they played ball somewhere, they probably played all kinds of
sports. Quarterback, like the starting quarter. So for instance, Tom McVay to me, and he was a great high school athlete, and or certainly a great high school football player. I think he was Gatorade player of the year in high school his senior year. But he ain't out throwing Matt Stat. Like, I can't imagine a world.
I think the Harbaugh brothers are probably doing pretty good. I think both the Harbaughs would probably do pretty good.
You can go back.
It's better than Herbert or better than Lamar Jackson?
Yeah. And yeah, you can go back.
He's coaching Dart now.
Yeah, you can go back in the day. You can go back in the day with a lot of these quarterbacks also got drafted in baseball. The Marinos, the Elways, those guys actually, you know, they played baseball.
Same
these
draft.
Dudes don't, these dudes, all these dudes do now is play football year round.
Yeah.
They don't play other sports. They might have played a little, they might hoop. All the ones we knew could hoop. I mean, every quarterback that we know, they can play basketball. But for other sports like baseball and stuff like that, a lot of these dudes just play football, man. And I think that hinders their ability to go on the bump. Now, if you know you can't throw a baseball, don't take your ass out there, man. When they make the phone call, be like, you know what?
Pass.
You know, I just want to make sure I don't throw my arm out because I got, you know, the fall's coming. I got training camp. I throw a lot of footballs in. If your arm is like that, 50 Cent and them dudes who, you know what I mean? I know he ain't got to worry about playing in the fall. Don't get out there and do that to yourself, man.
Chris Rock had a bad one.
Don't do
Baba
that
Bowie
to yourself.
Baba Bowie had a bad one.
Baba Bowie.
Baba Bowie had a terrible one.
Yeah, unless you're trying to go viral, man. Don't go out there on the bump, man, and try to throw it, man, because it will last forever. It'll always – Carl Lewis and the National Anthem.
Oh, my God.
That's not going anywhere.
YouTube ain't going out of business. YouTube ain't going out of business.
No,
right. It's going to be there forever. It's evergreen. It's going to be there forever.
Juice, do you think it's the nerves that get to them? Like, obviously, Malik Willis could throw a ball. Well, he could throw a football. But, I mean, do you think that, like, the nerves get to him and the ball gets away from him? And
he's probably put no thought into it, no time into it, and he probably hasn't thrown a baseball in 25 years. That's probably just – he just thought, okay, sure, I'll show up, and whatever.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but half
– I found one head coach who I am positive would throw a much, much better strike than his starting quarterback.
Who's that?
Kevin Stefanski.
Oh. Kevin Stefanski.
So give me his history, Mike. Talk to me.
I just look at the starting quarterback in Atlanta. That's all I need to know.
Quarterback only.
He's giving you his present.
It's all about the quarterback. It's not about the
coach. Not about the coach, but the quarterback.
I wonder if Tua throws a baseball right-handed. I'm not even trying to be funny.
I don't know.
Because he does everything else right-handed except for throw a football.
No, it'd be left-handed.
I would think left-handed if he throws a football. Yeah.
Throwing's one thing, you know. Like, you know, even like LeBron James does everything left-handed, but he'd probably throw a baseball right-handed. You know, that's a whole different animal, man.
I don't know. It's a weird deal.
Would you throw a strike, Big Seth, or would you?
I think I would. I told you, it's the one thing I can do athletically is I can throw a ball. But you know, I would definitely get a whole lot of warm-ups in. But I can't tell you that I wouldn't get out there on the mound in that beautiful stadium and maybe, you know, wet myself a little bit in the ball. Right. You know, I could see that happening. But I have the ability. Do it.
Yeah. What I would do is like, man, you know what? It's always been a dream for me to, you know, play catch with like Otto Lopez or one of the other players on the team just to get that arm warmed up. Because a lot of these dudes come in cold. They're taking all these pictures and stuff. They haven't thrown a baseball, you know, since, you know, they were warming up. Like, I think Tad warmed up for like 3 or 4 days with his buddy.
he was doing all kinds of stuff.
Right. Over here, you know what I mean?
The week beforehand.
Yeah. You know,
walking off 60 feet, 6 inches in his backyard. Let's get it going.
Now, have I ever told you guys the story of when Zach Thomas was – this is when he was playing, and he was invited to do the free throw thing for the Miami Heat. You know, he had courtside seats, and he called me, and he said, hey, we're going down to the game. Where can I go shoot some free throws? Like, what are you talking about? And I said, what game? It's tonight's game. And this was like 2 hours before he was heading down. And so I sent him to DCA Park in Sunrise, I think. And it's not DCA now. It's whatever, Sunrise Sports Athletic Center. And he went down there and shot free throws for 30 minutes before. Right. And, you know, you talk about the ultimate. He's like, I'm not going out there and embarrassing myself.
I don't blame him.
And so he shot free throws for 30 minutes before he went out to the game. That's Zach Thomas.
Yeah. You know, and the thing about that, too, is just don't airball it, man.
That's it.
Just don't airball it.
Yeah. You know? So yeah,
just get it on the front of the rim, get it on the back of the rim, even banking in if you have to. Just don't airball it, man.
Yeah. You know? So, Juice, this is my second question that I have then. You know, you talked about how you had to fire that thing in there. We saw half fire it in there. We saw what Malik Willis did. Tom Brady even had an errant throw, I think, in it, you know, so like of all people. But we saw Fernando Mendoza just throw a little moon ball in there. Is it better to do that and get it over the plate and have it land where it's supposed to? Or is it better to do that and have a couple people chuckle or to try to fire it in there and end up with the Malik Willis wild thing?
Yeah, well, you know, Fernando is probably, you know, he's a really smart guy. He's probably protecting his wing, you know what I mean? Making sure he doesn't throw it out, trying to throw that light-ass ball. Because you see me, Big Sass, when I was able to play in the Wiffle Blast, I threw my arm out, and next thing you know, I couldn't throw for another, you know, I still can't throw thanks to, you know, the Wiffle Blast because I was trying to bring that thing. You know what I mean? But by next year, I'll be able to throw it again. You know, it's going to take me about 7-8 months to, you know, to rehab and be ready. No, I'm just playing about that part. But I think it's better just get over the plate, make it a catchable ball. You know, just like don't hit the mascot left or right.
Right.
Don't be Ricky Vaughn. You know what I mean? We've seen some Ricky Vaughns out there, you know, and that don't be that guy, man. Just don't try to show off.
Don't have to go visit some little kid in the hospital.
Take a picture and get the hell off the field. You know what I mean? I think that's a better idea.
I agree. Well, Jeff Hafley is continuing to make fans here in South Florida, and that pitch was one more example. We had unfair shots here at Chris Greer. Mike McDaniel, I don't know that Mike McDaniel would have been throwing the ball the way Jeff Hafley did. So I got to give Haf some credit there. He definitely put that thing.
Mike probably wouldn't have got the pitch off in time. Probably wouldn't have got a pitch clock violation.
Did they call a balk? Have they ever called a balk on a ceremonial?
I don't know, but they would have done.
Ball one right away.
Mike is on fire tonight.
I mean, it's kind of low-hanging fruit with that group. And people wonder why they got fired.
That's a great point. That is a great point. So, all right, what else do we have? Pro Football Focus. God, I don't really even mess with Pro Football Focus.
I know you don't. But
Bradley Locker said that Devon Achane, he was on a list of 10 players that could become a first-time All-Pro this season. So, does that seem like a shocking prediction? Is he really going out on a limb there? I think we all believe in
– He's our offense. Who else we got? Yeah, they'll throw it to him. They're going to run it with him. He's going to get a lot of work this year.
Well, he's proven that he's fiercely talented. He is now a lot of times, and Juice, it was especially this way, and you suffered from it with you talked about earlier. You saw a lot of guys make the Pro Bowl a year after they should have. Not that they shouldn't have the year they made it, but they should have made it 1 year earlier, but they kind of hadn't become one of those names, even amongst the players. And I think he's past all that. He's on the map. People know who he is. They're aware of him. He's now been paid and everything else. So the fact the entire offense is going to run through him, Mike, as you just said, or you would expect it to, there's a really good chance he could have an All-Pro season.
He's our top wide receiver. Let's just be honest. He's our best wide receiver. They're going to throw him the ball a ton. Right or wrong, they're going to throw him the ball a ton. But, you know, I think he'll run for like 1,200 yards, maybe a little more. He'll probably catch 70, 75 passes. I mean, he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I think at running back, if you're talking all pro, not talking Pro Bowl, all pro.
All pro, that's right.
There's a lot of competition. You got Robinson with Atlanta. You got Saquon. You got with the Lions there, Gibbs. I mean, there's a lot of competition. Yeah. That's tough.
Caffey
but
still always.
He got a chance because he's going to get the ball a lot, like every which way.
Yeah, well, you know what? They need to stop trying to make him a wide receiver. And I think that's going to happen this year where they're not going to make him a wide receiver. We don't have anybody, honestly, you know, than my man Malik Washington, really, that's a guy. I do like Tutu Atwell and guys like that. But stop putting Devon out there as a flank wide receiver. You know, if you want to throw him screens, you want to throw him flares, you want to do things like that, that's one thing. But for him, I think no matter what, he's going to be – His touch total's got to get to 25. If he gets to 25 touches a game,
25 touches, okay.
He will be all pro because he's that dynamic, and I think they'll devise some schemes, and slowly those guys will have some schemes where he'll be able to get going. But also, his running game's going to be better than I think it's been. I think his offensive line is the best on paper that we've seen him have, on paper for us in terms of I think that's the best group of guys in front of him that he's seen.
Agreed.
Especially you look at that left side. If Austin's healthy, if Savai and I is happy on the right side like we're hoping he is, that offensive line, I would love to run behind that line. I'd love to hide behind that left side you know, with Paul and, you know, and Proctor. I'd love to hide. And we know Aaron Brewer, you know, happy off a new deal, is going to be that dude that hopefully that he's always been. It's going to be an opportunity for him to go out there and stack up. He could be a rushing leader this year, you know. And then, you know, once he gets to the next level, the second level, it you know, it's a tough deal for teams. But if he gets to the third level, it's over for teams.
Over.
You know what I mean? So don't let him get to the third level. If these guys can keep him clean, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, you know, I'm not killing Emmitt Smith. I know he's a Gator, Big Seth. Emmitt didn't get touched to the second level a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how he compiled. His line was so good, he didn't get touched to the second level. Now, the only problem that's going to happen with Achane is that the fact that we don't have that wide receiver presence to keep guys from stacking the box. You know, where Emmitt had, you know, Harper, when he had Michael Irvin, you know, he had Novacek. Those guys really couldn't stack the box because Troy could pick them apart. Troy go 20 for 22, you know, and those guys have got decent numbers that way. And look, Emmitt knows all those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The only problem, so we've got to have some receivers to help out a running back like Achane, whereas you can't just stack the box against him. So
right.
We got to have somebody emerge that way. If that's the case and Devon gets 25 touches, he could be so dynamic. He could be so hard to deal with. Now, we know that Mike McDaniel was a mastermind when it came to designing plays. Now, we don't know what the game plan is going to be offensively or how we're going to handle offensive, you know, game planning and play calling. But I think that no matter what, if we give Devon 25 touches and make it creative, don't be predictable. I think he can be that guy we're talking about, man. And he's going to have to be this year until we can, you know, reload on the outside or find out on the outside which one of these young guns can be that other dog out there on the football field.
There you go. That's a good one right there. Clip that, Mike Oliva.
We'll 25 touches.
We need a 25-touch guarantee there from OJ McCarthy.
I'm not guaranteeing it. That's what I'm hoping for.
Guaranteeing, if he can get that 25 touches, he'll have the production
and
have a chance to be an All-Pro.
Right, and things are going well if he's getting 25 touches. Things are going really well for the football team if he's getting 25 touches.
Yeah, that's a great point because if you're getting blown out, then you need to take his ass out.
It's going to be in the air, all those different things.
Let Wright or Gordon, right. Yeah, pound that thing. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Or you're trying to play catch-up ball. So that's for sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Let's see, what's the last thing? Because Savak did a heck of a job putting some of this stuff together here. Zach Sealer says he wants to retire a Miami Dolphin, but 2026 will decide that. Story by our guy Antoine Staley. I didn't see the story. I mean, we all love Zach Sealer, but age and money, like, how's he gonna? He wants to retire a Dolphin, but at what cost?
Yeah, because I'm gonna call up now. I don't know the
he's not going ahead. Back to the RV. I don't think
his contract next year jumps significantly. 2020, so this year his cap number is 11.4, next year it's 20.7.
Right,
no guaranteed money. You know what that makes him? A prime trade candidate come the deadline. That's what that makes Zach Sealer send him to a contender of a team that might be close. If Miami, let's not assume if they have the season many people think they're going to have and they are going to be trying to move parts at the deadline, he'd probably be at the top of the list because, you know, he's very good. Last year, he was still good, but not having someone opposite him like he's had in the past with Wilkins and such, it was a little different.
Having to carry those young guys.
Exactly. If you put him in on the right team, that dude is a beast. And I think, you know, prime candidate late October, they might be sending him somewhere because I do not see them paying with all the young guys they have in that line, Grant, Jordan Phillips, and some others. Look, he's on the wrong side of 30, making a lot of money. That's not where this team is at right now. It's all about youth. And trying to get these young players to where they need to be on the rookie contract. So I just see him as a prime trade candidate come out later.
And Mike, I don't even think it's a right now thing. I think philosophically, John Eric Sullivan,
that's where they are.
That's
all
when
the
we
time.
Start moving on from guys. You know, Bill Belichick used to have that thing. I'd rather trade a guy a year too early than a year too late. And it seems like we're getting something similar there from John Eric Sullivan. So we love Zach Sealer. Maybe he retires at the end of this year. I don't know. I think he's got a little too much ball and too much money left there on that contract. But with you. I don't see him lasting here for another year, Juice. And if those young guys from last year develop into players that this regime feels good about, that makes him even more expendable.
Yeah, we know. I mean, just because you say you want to retire as a Miami Dolphin doesn't mean you have to play your last years with the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, he signed a one-day contract. Mean?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Mike can always retire as a Dolphin. He can go somewhere else for a year or two and then come back and like, I want that jacket. I want that, you know, that aqua.
You think he was being that savvy when he said that?
Yeah, he could be. You know, yeah, I don't know, man. Who knows, man?
I don't think that's what he was thinking about. I think he was thinking about that short trip to that preserve that he has up the road on 27th. That's probably what he was thinking about. Well, gentlemen, it's about that time for one of our favorite segments here. It's not the not for nothing segment that Savak, I think, just introduced in the chat, but it's the I tried to tell y'all segment, and there's no way to kick it off other than for OJ McDuffie to make it happen.
Yeah, let's go, man. You know, here we go. I tried to tell y'all that this Miami Dolphins team could be better this season than most think. They can be good, but not great. Not just yet. This is year zero of the rebuild, and expectations are in the basement, as we all know. Some publications have them ranked with the worst projected starting roster in the NFL, sitting at the bottom of the power rankings and tied for the lowest win total in the league. But watch how this team is being built. They're investing in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and that's what the winning formula of football is all about. And that lasts. You win in the trenches, you control the line of scrimmage, you wear teams down, and you give your skilled players a chance to shine. That foundation doesn't show up in flashy highlight reels right away, but it shows up and wins when it matters. On the offensive line, you've got guys like we talked about, Patrick Paul, left tackle, Austin Jackson at right tackle, Aaron Brewer at center, Jonas Avaya-Nye, hopefully in the position that we love him to be, or he might love to be in the right guard position. And the addition of Caden Proctor, you know, on the left side, ready to anchor the interior and protect the new quarterback, you know, while opening up holes for Devon Achane. On the defensive side, you know, Zach Sealer, we just talked about, Kenneth Grant holding down the interior with Jordan Phillips and Zeke Biggers, and edge threats, like hopefully Chop Robinson brings the heat like we thought he could be when he was a first-round draft pick from Penn State University. These are unsung heroes who make everything else work. The current over-under on wins, I think, is sitting, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, at 4.5.
Yep.
A lot of folks are pounding the under right now. I think they're going to double that. I think they're going to double that total and then some. This young squad has talent like the aforementioned, big Seth, aforementioned, that's a big word. Like
that's mayonnaise word.
Right, as Devon Achane, they're ready to break out, like we talked about. If he hasn't already done so, which I think he has, we have a mobile quarterback in Malik Willis who can make plays and play in inclement weather, i.e., the AFC East. Plus, pieces on both lines that could surprise some people. I think they're going to surprise a few people. So, Miami Dolphin fans, stay patient, like I've said before, but stay loud. This is the surprise team of the upcoming season. The rebuild is real, the process is underway, and when the wind starts stacking up more than expected, that's what I'm talking about. Now, real quick before I get out here, Big Seth, big shout out to the Sum family. That's the Spiller Upton McDuffie family as we head to New Orleans for the weekend for our 18th family reunion.
Nice.
Every other year. So we've been doing it since 1992. Last year was in L.A., and we've been doing big things. Just like the Miami Dolphins are going to be doing big. Building bridges and bridging gaps, as you know, Big Seth, one trench at a time. Let's go, Fins. I try to tell you.
Wow. So, first of all, well done. Fabulous.
Very good. Yeah.
But did you say that the Miami Dolphins are going to double and then
double? I did not stutter.
Is this a 10 win prediction?
Nine wins. Do the math.
You said double and then some.
Well, nine and a half then.
Okay. Nine, and then when a playoff game, you're a 10. There you go.
Wow.
Seth, I think Pete is OJ McDuffie. And OJ is Pete from our chat tonight.
I was going to say, I think that there's a burner account. Yeah.
He's been sending us messages.
Clip that, Mike. Clip that for me. Savak, clip that right there. And then when I come back mid-season, well, not mid-season, end of the season.
I'll save it. I'll put a nice little folder.
Like, I tried to change. Might run off nine off the top. You might be like, and then some. Seth, and then some.
Right. Wow. That's what I'll come with the end. Then
start 9-0, then let's lose the rest of the games.
Man, oh, well, let's not do that. Man, oh, man. So, Savak, are you in on this today?
Actually, yes.
Let's go. It's been a month since
I know, right?
Shit.
Been kind of crazy, but I'm actually going to, it seems like I'm going to be coming from the same vein as Juice, but you know, I couldn't not use this. Things take time. That's probably not what Dolphin fans want to hear after the last few years, but it's still true. Now, Miami may not be great today. There are so many new faces on the roster, the equipment staff is probably still asking guys for ID. The highest paid Dolphins this year won't even be playing for the Dolphins. The national media only seems to remember Miami when it's time to talk about dead cap, and the power rankings have us sitting at 32. Well, at least we made the list. And you know what? They managed to deal with those pesky playoff expectations by eliminating them altogether. And believe it or not, that might be the healthiest thing that's happened to this franchise in years. Because what we're watching isn't a reload. It's a rebuild. Now, the other night, I watched, rewatched Independence Day. Remember that movie? Everything gets leveled. Cities are gone. Landmarks are gone. Humanity gets knocked flat on its ass. That's where the Dolphins were. The roster that everybody thought was going to compete, gone. The stars, gone. The cap space, gone. The draft capital it took to build it, gone. It was Independence Day. The mothership showed up, and Miami got smoked. Now, here's where I tried to tell you. I said back in 2023 that if that roster, if that collection of talent, with that head coach couldn't make a serious run, then the organization needed to start thinking about the future while those stars still had value. People thought I was crazy. Then 2024 happened, and 2025 happened, and now here we are. Now, I'm not saying that because I enjoy being right. I do enjoy being right. But I'm saying it because this outcome wasn't some shocking twist. It was predictable. But here's the good news. After Independence Day comes Pacific Rim. Different movie, different problem, same lesson. One of the very first lines.
In order to fight monsters, we created monsters of our own.
That's exactly what I hope Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan are doing. They're not trying to slap another coat of paint on the old house. They're pouring a new foundation, building something that lasts, building something that doesn't fall apart the minute adversity shows up. And here's the part everybody forgets about Pacific Rim. Idris Elba's character is dying because humanity rushed the first generation of Jaegers into battle before they were ready. Sound familiar? Miami has rushed this process before. We got impatient. We chased shortcuts. We convinced ourselves that one splashy offseason could replace years of patient roster building. It couldn't. So don't make that mistake again. Don't rush this. Eat the dead cap. Develop the young guys. Find out who can actually play. Build the culture. Build the roster. Build the monster. Because if Independence Day was the destruction, then Pacific Rim is the great reconstruction. And great things take time, I tried to tell you.
Where'd everybody go?
Oh, wow, there it is.
I was like, we lost our crew.
Hold on.
I'm seeing myself.
There it is.
Very nicely done. And it looks like it happened, you know, right here. Did you do it just before? You didn't put that together right before showtime. You just made sure you dressed the same. I like it.
That's right.
Very nice. Juice is muted. We got to get – hold on, Juice.
I got you.
Damn. Let me in the game, coach.
You're in. Go on.
Trying to silence that man because he predicted 9 wins. Come on.
I was about to like what you was talking about. Now I can't stand it.
Well, how can you not stand it? You basically said the same thing.
I didn't know about Independence Day and all that stuff. I should have went last. I should have not even done mine today. That was great. That was really good.
It was very well produced. Pete is on fire in the chat, or Juice is on fire. I don't know which, if it's Juice or Pete. Pete is Einhorn is, but I, you know, how about guys? I'm going to go ahead and just we didn't even confer on this. Pete now is predicting a 5-0 start and then trading for a star player like Puka Nacua or Penei Sewell during the bye week. If the Dolphins get to 5-0, Pete, I'm inviting you to come on the show here with us, and you're going to have an I Try to Tell Y'all segment. And you
stay for the full hour.
That's it. That's exactly right. We're offering that up right here, Pete.
Real quick before we get to the other ones, like Mike and Seth and Savar, are we – I mean, I don't care – I'm okay with us winning 10, 11 games.
It'd be great. It'd be fabulous.
You know, everybody, I'm not a tanker. I'm not looking for a draft pick. If this team can win 9 or 10 games, that means we're on the right path with a bunch of young players.
It's the right path. That's the path. Yeah.
That's the path. Look, if they win 9 or 10 games with a roster filled of first and second year players, these guys got jobs for life. I mean, it's more than the right path.
We got some tough decisions. Down the road in 4 or 5 years when they come up with contract, but I don't give a damn, right?
I don't give a damn.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, traditionally, I know I go last here, but Mike Oliva has been on such a I Tried to Tell Y'all run.
It's your call, it's your show.
I'm going now. Yeah, I am not following Mike Oliva this time. I am definitely not doing that. But what I will say is that I tried to tell y'all that I hate training camp. And before I get too far ahead of myself, allow me to clarify that I fully recognize the necessity of training camp. And actually, much like my out to pasture brethren, I don't think today's players or coaches get in enough work to properly prepare for the start of a season, thanks to a whole lot of collective bargaining. So this is not a training camp is a waste of time rant, but I hate training camp nonetheless. When the Dolphins released their training camp schedule last week, I can only imagine the toll it took on Expedia.com as Fins fans prepared to flock to Florida with the belief that they simply cannot miss the official start to the Halfley era. Hope springs eternal each and every NFL summer. And to many, training camp symbolizes that football is back. But gentlemen, we're talking about practice. And that's the reality of training camp. For decades, we were talking about a grueling physical practice, but it was still just practice. Will this be the closest thing that we've seen to real football since the new regime took over? Sure, it will be, but it's still practice. And yet, we always want to analyze and overanalyze every freaking snap. Crowds are going to erupt when a receiver wins a one-on-one route, even though there's no safety help over the top, Juice. There's no pass rush to disrupt the quarterback. But let's all get excited about how the hell that receiver looked on that play. Perk, Omar, Hal Habib, they're all going to be taking role each and every day. Barry Jackson's going to be asking about injuries before, you know, Halfley even gets to sip the water or say hello at the beginning of the press conference. And while all of us are at home each night, tweeting like we're in the Oval Office ourselves, the players and coaches and staff will be at work from sunup to sundown, working ridiculous hours, unreasonable conditions, and have no days off. And guess what, guys? It sucks. Is there bonding that happens? Sure. Are there great stories to tell a decade later? Of course there are. Who doesn't like the Ben Kelly falling out of the trees at Rolling Hills story, like now you're trying to get out of camp? Who doesn't like those stories? Who doesn't like the Zach and Larry Izzo with bags over their head running naked, the one you told recently? You know, everybody loves those stories. But ask a trainer about 11 p.m. night treatments. Yeah. Ask an equipment manager about having to do laundry and get it ready for 150 people morning after morning. Ask any of us who served under Harvey Green and had to be wearing long pants outside for two-a-day practices in July and in August. Have I told you that I hate training camp? More than anything, I hate training camp because it's not the regular season. I get that training camp breaks the offseason, and then preseason breaks training camp. And it's these landmarks that get fans excited, and they scratch that itch. But don't let them fool you. Training camp sucks. Sure, joint practices are kind of fun, but we're only getting one practice per opponent this year with the Giants and the Commanders. And the one we all want, the Atlanta Vailoa Falcons, it isn't even happening. Preseason ball is even worse. Just don't tell Travis Wingfield that I said so. So go ahead and get fired up. Plan your days off for work. Soak in every moment of every practice that you attend. It is certainly your right to do so. Having said that, it's about time that we all understand training camp is a necessary evil, but it sucks, and I hate it. I tried to tell y'all.
I love that, Seth, because I could not agree more. Look, if you're on the team, it matters. If you're a young player trying to win a spot, it matters. Trying to win a starting role, it matters. Why? And I know I'm going to get a lot of blowback for this. I don't care, though. If you're a local fan and you want to go there, it's free. Go for it. Why anyone would fly down to Florida and watch a training camp practice? Got to have your head exam. Nothing happens. Like, nothing happens. It's watching. You watch a bunch of guys stretch, then they run some drills, then it's over. It's right. Like, if you're going to fly down, go for a game. The practice thing, I just don't get it. But that's me. I know I'll get a ton of negative feedback for this now. So, but it's like, it's 110 degrees in August. You're sweating through your shirt. It's practice.
Yeah. Except I love the part about the one-on-ones because I remember, you know, Dan like ripping our secondary apart in one-on-ones, and then I hear Sam Manning say, "You ain't got that much time, Dan." You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. But we loved it. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you, the crowd goes crazy. My first practice in St. Thomas was, you know, in front of those guys, and winning a one-on-one was huge for us.
For sure.
Because the crowd went crazy. So don't underestimate how it felt for us, Big Seth, because you were in a polo and sweating your whatever off.
I didn't mind the polos and damn Dockers I had to wear.
I got the last time the crowd went crazy at training camp. Watch this.
I tell you what, show me that.
That's dirty. That was dirty.
That's staying in the archive for a while. That's an all-timer right there.
Beginning of the end right
there. No one left. No one's cheering now.
Beginning of the end right there.
Dirty work right
that
there.
That was wrong.
Too soon, Mike.
So good. Good stuff.
Hey, right. Real quick here, as we're all hating, well, not all of us, because Drew certainly wasn't. Pete says fans should hurry up and get their season tickets right now, because come December and we're in first place in the East, those prices are going to be crazy.
That's right. And the resale value is going to be mad. No,
Pete's
got to
be the 2026 fan of the year. That's what I'm saying.
Can we create that? I know he's
just nominated.
Hey, when
no,
we do
not
this,
fan of the year, just fan of the year for the team this year.
Right, right.
When we do this during the season, Mike and Savak and Seth, I want a ticker of our win-loss on there. I want it like 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1. I don't know what the hell our schedule is. But you know,
5-0 if you're counting Pete's wins, for sure. Now, let's listen, go. I want Pete to be right. Like,
I want to be right, too.
No, you don't. No, y'all don't. Yeah, no, y'all don't. Y'all looking forward to next year's draft, man. Get out of here with that bullshit.
I don't care about it. I don't get excited about all that. I want Pete to be right. I want Pete to be right here in this space on the show with us doing it. I tried to tell y'all, and I just can eat crow the whole time. I just don't see it. Right. But I hope he's right.
I want to be wrong.
I get it.
Like, I don't want to be right. I want to be wrong. I want to root for a winner.
Let's make sure we clarify this.
I see my birthday on Sunday. I ain't getting any younger. I need to see this team win.
Right. We're with you, Mike. So what will officially, because, you know, 5-0 is a lot, and Juice predicted 10 wins. What would make
– I said 9.5, Big Seth.
Can't win half, but 9.
you did say 9.5. So I guess you could have 9 and a tie. So 9 and a tie. There you go.
Boom. There we go. See, right, I'm back in the game.
That is 9.5. So, okay, if they come in at 8 wins, can Juice throw us?
Absolutely.
To tell y'all?
Absolutely.
Pete,
that
what
counts.
About Pete? What would allow Pete to be right? Well, just Pete, so we can establish this.
They got to win a playoff game for Pete to be right, the way he's
That's
talking.
That's a good point.
I mean, he was at 20-0 like a half hour ago.
He's talking about first place.
Win a playoff game.
That's a good point.
5-0 to start the season.
Yeah. I didn't go that far. I didn't go
We're
that far.
Come on down, man. With the friggin' ticket sales for that. It's the hottest ticket. It's going to look like the friggin' F1 thing with all the celebrities in the stands by the time the Dolphins get to December. Pete, you are the man. Thank you for making this episode special.
He's great.
Oh, he's at 12 wins. Okay, there it is. 12 wins.
12.
So Juice at 9.5. Pete's at 12. We'll see what happens. I just hate training camp.
What's Mike got for us, Big Seth? Mike got something.
Okay, here's mine this week.
I don't make.
I tried to tell y'all.
I forgot. I'm so used to going last.
I got it. I got it.
I'll keep somebody this one short.
It ain't me. Thank you, Juice.
I tried to tell y'all, and I've been trying to tell y'all that preseason rankings don't matter. In recent weeks, there's been a lot of rankings of many things in the lead up to training camp. ESPN ranked Jordan Brooks the number 7 off-ball linebacker, Achane the number 8th running back. Warren Sharp thinks Miami's offensive line is ranked 29th out of 32. ESPN has Miami with the worst roster in the NFL, and Warren Sharp just today said Miami has the worst roster and they will win between 2 and 5 games. CBS, they said today Miami's got the 4th worst quarterback situation in the NFL right now. And I see some fans of the Dolphins, they get big mad over such rankings. And, you know, they get upset. And while you can nitpick over some things, Achane at 8th, maybe he should be 6th. Offensive line should maybe be 5 or 6 spots higher. Overall, I think these rankings are fair and objective to an unbiased eye. Now, I know fans of the Dolphins aren't unbiased. And no matter what they feel their team is, their favorite or who their favorite players are, they feel like they're being pooped on and disrespected by those in the media who come out with these rankings. But look, these are preseason rankings at the end of the day. Now, real quick, my grandfather was a very wise man who passed down many life lessons to me over the years before he passed away. And I feel like I would be doing the world a disservice if I didn't share some of those life lessons. So let me share 3 life lessons my grandfather shared with me over the years. 1, never play cards with someone named after a state or a city. 2, you can't make a hoe into a housewife. And 3, don't pay any attention to NFL preseason rankings. They don't matter. In about 8 weeks, the NFL will play games for real. And if Achane runs for 1,300 yards and he catches 70 passes, who cares if he's ranked 8th by NFL coaches, scouts, executives? And if Achane has that type of year, that probably means the offensive line is way better than 29th. If Jordan Brooks leads the NFL in tackles again, who cares that he was ranked 7th best off-ball linebacker by so-and-so and so-and-so? And if the Dolphins truly have the worst roster in the NFL, they will win 7 or 8 games and prove people wrong. None of this matters. Now, as I tell fans of the Dolphins to chill out and not get upset with these rankings, I do want to correct some Dolphins fans on something I'm starting to see on social media and various outlets that there's a segment of fans of Dolphins are saying that makes no sense. So this is a bonus preemptive I'm trying to tell y'all right now in advance. I see many fans of the Dolphins jumping to the conclusion that if the experts are right and Miami ends up with a top 3 pick in the draft, they don't have to take a quarterback next year if Willis plays well. Folks, there isn't a world in this solar system where if Miami wins 2, 3, or 4 games, Willis played well enough to tie yourself to him long-term, and you're passing on a quarterback at the top of round 1 in a quarterback-rich draft. That isn't reality. That's not how the NFL works. And you are lying to yourself that's even an option. So if Miami has a top 3 pick, they're not going to take a wide receiver like Jeremiah Smith over a quarterback. Plus, side note, don't forget, these guys from the Packers, who are all here now, they never take wide receivers in round 1, and they damn sure ain't taking one in the top 3. I know they took one in round 1 in 2025, but that's only because the roster was so loaded. It was all they needed. That's not going to be the situation in Miami. They also aren't going to trade a top 3 pick for ransom of all these other picks when you have a glaring need of quarterback. They will take the quarterback of the future, because you don't plan on picking top 3 again anytime soon. You jump at that opportunity. And for the segment of Dolphins fans who say silly things like Arch Manning's really not that good, or Julian Slayton's the same size as Tua, I don't want him, or Dante Moore runs a slow 40 time, to try and justify and lie to themselves and cope and feel better about not taking a quarterback at the top of round 1 if Miami happens to be there, stop. You sound silly. Tell me you don't watch college football without telling me you don't watch college football. Live in reality. So I tried to tell y'all preseason rankings don't matter, and I'm trying to tell you ahead of time, if Miami ends up with a top 3 pick, they're taking a quarterback. Believe that. I tried to tell y'all.
There's a reason why I have given up the cleanup spot. He doubled down. He tried to tell us two things in one.
He did.
Oh, I see. It's like, well, Arch Manning's looking at that. Are you nuts? Did you guys watch Texas play last year? You know, he was sensational. And Moore for Oregon was fantastic. If he would have came out, he would have been picked number two. I mean, there's a – if they have a top three pick. They're taking a quarterback, folks. You're not picking top three because your starting quarterback played so well that not his fault, it's everyone else's fault. It's like, that's not reality.
Right. Well, I'm telling you this, Mike. We're not having a top three pick.
You're on the record.
I just told you.
Not with 9.5
with a win season, we're not going to have a top three pick, Mike. It's not happening.
Welcome home.
Pete wants the best of both worlds.
You can't get Arch Manning if you win 12 games.
Pete
wants us to win the Super Bowl and trade up to one.
And by the way, Mike, I'm one of those guys who's not on the Arch Manning train. I just don't see what everybody sees. I just don't.
I'm not on any of those trains right now. I was on a Fernando Mendoza train because I saw what he did like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
There's some guys that, you know, I'm not for more like, why are you still trying to stay in college, bro? You know what I mean? The next level.
Because you want to go to the Jets.
you talk about size matters in the league, as we all know. Size does matter in the league, you know? So
is that what I tried to tell y'all for?
Yeah. We'll see what happens this year with those guys. Now, you know, these guys, you know, maybe they, you know, feel like they can take their team to the promised land, which is nice in college football. But everybody's dream, in my opinion. I think Arch has to stay, right?
No, he doesn't have to stay.
Saying he had to stay.
Oh, yeah.
He had to stay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But so guys that don't want to come to the league yet, do they want to be in the league? Or they just, you know what I mean? That's my thing. If guys don't want to be in the league, then they don't – shit. I mean, that's our dream as a kid, man. Our dream as a kid to be
I'll say this, too.
You get a chance to be in the league, you could have been a number two overall pick. What the hell are you doing, man?
Please. What's the Jets?
I don't give a damn where it's at.
Peyton Manning went
Guam,
back to
baby.
Peyton
Guam,
Manning
Guamers,
went back to Tennessee
Guam,
before the Jets.
Somebody bring back those Guam Guamers, man.
Peyton Manning went back to Tennessee because he didn't want to play for the Jets. That's how bad
Peyton Manning went back to Tennessee because his family had a lot of money already. He didn't have to go to
Arch
league
does, too, yeah.
Well, a lot of them have a lot of money now, though, Drew.
They all got a lot of money now.
Hey, dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's still the love.
I'll say this, too, about Arch. Tell me one owner who needs a quarterback that they have a chance to pick a Manning that won't.
For sure. I mean, that's going to get people excited. There's no doubt. But I also think that that's why he's being over-evaluated. But that's another conversation.
Because I thought he played well. The second half of last year, he really came on, and I thought he played really well.
He's a different type of Manning, because I bet all these games
like a degenerate.
Yeah, he's a different type of Manning, too. He has a way different skill set than those guys had. He's definitely equipped for this next level. So it'll be exciting to see what happens.
We shall see. Well, Juice, it is past about that time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.